This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
A very lovely sunny afternoon to everybody. It's time for Tech Talk. Karmjit Singh from Digital News Asia is here. He's well and he's early. And what do? We talk about the local tech eco space, but not so local anymore. We do Singapore as well.
Yeah, a little bit when it's applicable, right? So while the idea is to get Gabby to call in and do an update from there, we haven't started doing that. So.
Why? Because she's lazy.
Lazy is a four-letter word. Huh? Okay, that's interesting. And I don't know. No, she's just not ready yet. So we will soon.
Okay. So let's talk about your week in review article that you wrote last Friday, a perennial favorite topic in Malaysia and Singapore. It's like basically Malaysia vs. Singapore, as my son would always say.
VS, yeah. Yes. No, so really because, just quickly last week, of course, I spoke about, you know, me and Gabby being at MTech, you know, and that's the MIT conference in Singapore. We already spoke about that. And so I may not have mentioned that every delegate there also got a copy of Digirati 50, which is quite exciting for us. But then on Friday, I do something called Week in Review, which is my thoughts on the articles we've covered, we've written over the week. And I happen to write about this thing about us leveraging on the excellent world-class, you know, technology and science. I didn't just say technology and science conferences that Singapore has, because MTech was talking about disruptive technologies. There was also talking about genomics and space, so with science and technology. And because Singapore has long been the favorite route in Asia for these kind of conferences, it takes a long time to build up your reputation and credibility to be a destination for these events. So, and yet somebody there from a leading government agency was saying, first thing he said, hey, we got to bring these kind of events here. And I said, no, it's very hard to do, you know. I didn't say it's impossible. I said it's very hard to do. You want to do it, means just enjoy what you have in Singapore first, because it's a short plane drive. It's a plane ride down, short hop. And you can even do a day trip, correct? Can come back in the evening, don't have to stay. And then when I came back and I happened to be at the event last week, Thursday, right after BFM, I went down to MCMC because the chairman, the new chairman, Dr. Halim, gave a briefing to some of the media there. So that was very interesting. But I happened to be sitting next to the CEO of a major broadcaster. And when I shared with him where I'd just been, he said, hey, we got to organize some event like that here. And I said, no, it cannot be done easily. So really that was the trigger for me to write my piece about us just taking advantage of the fact that it's so near, we can enjoy the interaction with this excellent speaker. Right, the knowledge sharing, the learning, and you know what, some of them will be interested to come to Malaysia too if you invite them. Maybe not the whole thing where you invite 20 over people, so it's still a win-win for us. So I say just take advantage of that. And then somebody wrote in the comment that, you know, it's this kind of defeatist mentality that keeps us there. And I James, right, was the guy, and I say, hey, power to him. If you want to, if you think you don't accept that, you know, go ahead and know, help build that world-class science and technology conference in Malaysia.
Right.
I'm not stopping you. Then Dr. Gabriel Walter, who's obviously, you know, with QES, one of our Digirati 50, then he shared his perspectives. And I thought, and you read his comments,
right? Yeah.
Which I thought were quite interesting.
Okay, his comments were obviously, you know, it just makes sense to be in Singapore, from everything from what, convenience to legalized prostitution.
Legalized prostitution to just the interaction with people and it being a...
I have to agree with you, strangely. I have to agree with you.
Skies will not be blue for much longer now.
You know, I know what he's... I know we want to be patriotic and saying that we can do it to Malaysia, Boleh.
Yes.
And we can.
Of course.
But what we're saying is that, you know... Look at it this way. Penang Char Kway Teow is the best.
Yes.
Singapore will never be as good.
Of course.
Okay, and that's lead. Let's lead in something that we're good in, or in a whole new area. I think we have, like, now we've established ourselves in the halal space.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then really go into niche and go into depth into halal.
Yep.
That's what we're good at.
Yep.
And you know, if other people come in, that means we haven't done a good job.
Exactly.
Right. If you've taken the lead in something and not sort of expanded on it, then that's our fault.
Yes.
But and Singapore is way ahead of the game in this area, but there may be there particular segments in those areas that we can bring to Malaysia and be really good at. Right?
And we have done that, and Gabriel said that there are things that we do already, we do very well. So it's just so his point was just that, you know, just take a short plane ride down. And I spoke to the CEO of an MNC who was at one time a CEO of a large MNC out of the US, but the Malaysian head. And he says even he, since like the 1990s, he's been going down to Singapore for, you know, this world-class technology and science conferences. So it's a combination of the two. You go there and you enjoy it. So that was the point I'm making. Let's take advantage of it, leverage on that. Maybe from building relationship, then you can organize one here. And by the way, our mysterious Mr. Dash, you know, Dakshinamurti Balakrishna was there, you know, dashing around here and there. And I think he's organizing a conference. Really, I think he was up to no good. Yeah. He's actually there trying to get some of these speakers to come to Malaysia. Isn't that great?
Yeah,
you don't have to go to Korea. You don't have to go to the US, to the UK to meet them, right?
So they're just down there. In those particular areas, right? I mean, I know also that we talked to the people in with the government. I can't remember what they called now. We've interviewed them a few times about focusing on, because the business traveler spends more money. So yes, there is a space there. Yes. There is money to be made there, but maybe we don't want to fight in that space.
No.
Pharmaceuticals, biotourism, you know, biomedical, and you know, the those kind of conferences.
Yes.
Let's create a niche and lead in that area.
I think we do have our niches, but just that this guy was saying, yeah, of course, clearly. So he was just making that point. And then interesting that another reader came and shared his counterpoint. So that was really, you know, what that little conversation was about. Like, just take advantage, you know.
Okay. So seeing,
now we move on taking advantage.
Taking advantage, seeing that you're sitting next to a major broadcaster. So what's this? Astro Waves into e-commerce gently last November. It took the plunge with official launch last Friday. Was that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I was writing about it. No, I was... So Astro is leveraging. So they've been planning...
We're not major. So anyway, go on.
Yes. No, Astro. So what they're doing is they've gone into e-commerce. They did a soft launch, and without meaning they didn't promote it last year in November. And this is home shopping, but home shopping is actually a category under e-shopping, e-commerce. So and the idea is that if you go to Wikipedia, you'll see you're basically shopping from home. Of course, home shopping is home, and then internet e-commerce also, you tend to do it with web-based, you do it from home. So that's why it's under the Embed umbrella of e-commerce. So they've launched it now with a big way, and they've partnered with this company called GS Home Shopping. And really, I just did a little bit of
research,
a thing about about how who GS Home Shopping is, because obviously we don't know, and of course most of us don't care, but they're the leading home shopping network and then / e-commerce company in Korea. They started in 1995, believe it or not. And the CEO of this, of GS Home Shopping Inc., actually said that we guarantee success to our partners if somebody partners with us. And he said this in a media interview with the Korea Herald back in 2013. Mm-hmm. So for Astro, hey, that's great. We guarantee success. How do these guys guarantee success? They've been doing it for so long that what they say is that in home shopping, you try to create a need for a product, not a want. A want is you want everything, right? You want to go to Hawaii for vacation. But when you can convert that subtly into a need, and that's an emotional, trying to make an emotional attachment. And broadcast TV is a great vehicle, right? You've got animation, you've got people speaking and all that. They're very persuasive. You create like a whole infomercial around it. It's edutainment almost, that which is what the CEO of this initiative, right? The JV for Malaysia, the CEO for that, Dato' Rosa Lila, I think, you know, who was formerly with the CMO of Telecom Malaysia.
Right.
She's running it. She said that's what they're going to try to do.
Which is interesting. It'd be another revenue stream for Astro.
Yeah, revenue stream. And Astro, actually, there was some misinformation in some of the news that went out. So Astro is projecting, and I confirmed it with them, they're projecting to have a total of $500 million revenue over the next 5 years. That means by the end of 2019, from this year, they would expect to hit $500 million revenue, which I think is kind of conservative, but you might as well under-promise, right, and then over-deliver.
Yeah.
So $500 million. But some media reports out came and said that they expect $500 million in 2019 itself. And I think that happens when you're rushing out the story, because it came out, the event was on a Friday morning, and this is how the nature of news has changed also.
Mm.
And immediately by, I think, noon or by 1 p.m., like 4 or 5 media organizations had the story up ready. And then you're really relying on the press release and maybe 1 or 2 comments. And sometimes when you're rushing to be first, then you tend to leave out some points, or you want to double check on some points.
Right.
It takes a while for this to come back. So I actually asked this on Friday itself. I said, what exactly do you mean by this $500 million in 2015 or you know, over the 5 year period? And I just got the confirmation today. And of course, Monday, Tuesday is like a holiday, right?
Yeah.
Although Monday was not a holiday in Selangor. I suspect many Selangorians took it as a holiday also, in kinship with our city folk in KL.
You know, fell sick on a Monday.
No. So anyway, so this is going to be a new revenue stream for Astro. Astro is really excited about it. And I think after home shopping, so they said that the initial revenue drive is going to come from home shopping. And next, I think, is going to be mobile commerce.
Right.
And the Koreans have already, last year, when I Koreans meaning GS Home Shopping, they already are going with a mobile-first strategy because home shopping is already saturated.
Mm.
So they're saying mobile shopping, mobile commerce is the way to get more revenue. And they've had at least 10 million downloads of their mobile app. And I think they targeted 800 million won in revenue. Now, 3 trillion won in revenue is about 970 billion US.
Wow.
So, and over, so from the time they launched till 2013, till 2012, sorry, 2013, they clocked 3 trillion won. In the year of 2013, they clocked 3 trillion won.
Are you sure it's billion or million?
No, they use won in Korea, so it's 3 trillion won.
Right, but you made a conversion to...
Oh, to US dollars. US was 970...
Million, I think.
Million. Well, yeah, because the Korean is a fraction, sorry. They almost hit a billion in revenue, right?
I'm moving there.
Over the period of that 20-year period, not in 1 year, of course.
Of course, but still.
But the numbers are astounding, so Astro is excited, and they just seem to have found a way, because I was wondering why Astro gave up 40% in his JV. Clearly, they could have done it themselves. Just hire them as a consultant, and then you take the advice and run with it. Or hire people who are formerly from there, right? But, you know, Astro has been trying to launch this for a few years now, and I think they finally decided, let's just go with a partner who knows how to do it. They live, breathe, sleep, you know, home shopping and e-commerce. Let's rely on them. And Astro brings a lot to the table too, right? They've got a huge customer base from all their properties.
And I've heard this strategy.
What's that?
You know, the person with the bigger share actually works harder.
Works harder? They've got 60%, they'll work harder. No, but okay, one key point then, you've got a big player coming in and making a very serious effort. So what about local players?
Right.
So I spoke to Chan from, I forgot his full name now. The CEO of Exabytes, Chan. Okay. And then Chang Ki-seok. And then he said that, I said, hey, won't the small players be affected? He says no, because Astro is now going to be spending a lot of effort and time to educate consumers about e-commerce. And he said, what this is going to do is more customers will be aware of the benefits of doing e-commerce, conducting e-commerce, and Astro will now raise the bar. So everybody who's doing e-commerce has to raise their bar, whether it's quality of service or whether it's the quality of the products, how they position and market those products. See, at the end of the day, a consumer benefits. And I thought that was a very bold and really, you know, a big picture view of him saying that, instead of saying, oh, it's not fair for big players to come in and all. So that's the approach.
And then, you know, AirAsia.
So yeah. Very fascinating, because remember AirAsia when they launched their mega store in 2011-12? I thought that, my goodness, you know, with a big company like that, they're going to really, you know, sweep the floor or sweep the competition. Oh. It didn't happen. And I was trying to get someone from... trying to get somebody from AirAsia mega store to talk to me, and I couldn't get them in time for my article, but I spoke to someone this morning. And he said the challenge was that maybe they started too early, and then they were just focused on really products from Malaysia. While they got almost 1,000 merchants on board, like, the big companies then were wary of antagonizing their established channels. So he said that didn't work. And then they also, for AirAsia, they couldn't synergize the group, like Tune Talks, Tune Money, you know, AirAsia this mega store. Their customer bases were separate. Of course, this was the days before the Personal Data Protection Act. He said they couldn't create one seamless customer base where you get benefits if you're a regular customer of Tune Talks or Tune Hotels. That didn't work. And I think they are trying to work towards that. What happened with that, I don't know. But they didn't become the dominant player I thought they would.
Would be, yeah.
So now let's see if Astro can.
All right. And we'll discuss other things after this. Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia in Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
Close shape.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon, Frida Liu here. I've been speaking to Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia, talking about the tech space.
And getting names right, because
Malaysia,
I just realized that we're being hosted by Exabytes DNA site, and I said I better get the CEO's name right. So Chan Ki-seok is his name.
Well done. Okay, let's discuss digital terrestrial TV. So why does DNA say it is make or break time for MyTV and DTTV?
Yes. Well, we had an interview with their chief commercial officer, Haniza Rose Nasaruddin. I got the name right because I wrote it down. So, and she just, they're poised now to start their education awareness for companies to come and maybe say, hey, you can obviously take a channel too if you want to be a broadcaster. It's not as hard, it's not expensive as before. and just to try to educate the market. They're starting that next week. They've got a series of programs going on. And so she's, of course, studying the media blitz too. So she spoke to Gauthier New, and we feel that they're going to have a triple challenge because they need to fill up capacity. They're going to have like up to 80 channels, okay, by 2019, 80 channels. So, I mean, they've got to fill up capacity. They've got to educate consumers and even enterprises, right? And then they've also got to build up the ecosystem. So, and to do this, they're allocating $2.5 billion. So these are fresh figures because the figures have always been fluctuating and moving and they've been a bit vague about them sometimes. Now they've gone out and say that they're allocating $2.5 billion ringgit in OPEX and $2 billion in CAPEX. Oh, but it's over 15 years.
Right.
And that works out to $300 million a year. But more important is that according to Haniza, the chief commercial officer, for existing broadcasters, you're actually going to be saving a lot of money. She uses the word significant cost savings because right now, the cost of maintaining a channel can be up to 17 million ringgit a year, as opposed to 12 million that they would pay MyTV. Mm. Now, she uses the term maintaining because with MyTV, you get all the broadcast facilities already part of the package, right? You don't need to buy the upgrade to the latest camera, get the most efficient, you know, mixing equipment, all that. It comes in a package. So it's like broadcast as a service. Yeah, it's being outsourced. So she said there's at least a 5 million savings. And so they don't have to worry about the things now. But this doesn't include interactive services, very interesting, such as video on demand and live voting too. They're going to have things like live voting. So during the new show, maybe you can say the first new segment is something, then you end with a quiz or say, you know, vote, what do you think? At the end of the new segment, then you read out the result, the vote, you know, of our listeners, viewers, right? Viewers, how many of them agree or disagree? So that's kind of interesting. It makes the news then more sticky too, right?
Mm.
So that's what, but you got to pay extra for that. Yeah. So now, so this is what they're going to try to do. And they've got a whole series of things out there. And Haniza is quite optimistic that, you know, they can gain traction. Now, while Go crunch some numbers and say, by the time, if they get 80 broadcasters times by 12, that's really a lot of money. And even if they get 30 broadcasters, 30 channels times by 12 million, it's more than the 300 million a year that they're allocating for CAPEX. But Haniza said, hold on, I know if you do the math that way, but imagine how difficult it is going to be for us to persuade companies out there that they can have their own channel too. Like if you talk about YTL, suddenly YES can have its own channel. And you don't need to take the whole 24-hour slot. You can take even up to 12 hours a day or even smaller chunks, I think.
BFM TV.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's a natural, right? So you can do stuff like that to increase your engagement with your customer base. So it's going to be a huge education process and awareness, you know, that corporates can now own a slice of a broadcast channel too.
Okay.
Lots of channels. And then on top of that, very fascinating, we did a press release where Singtel, Sony Pictures and Warner Brothers are going to roll out a Netflix-type service for Asia.
Right.
Amazing, right? So you're going to start. So if you talk about there not being enough content or not enough choice for you, and this is going to be rolled out in March or April of this year, they're going to have, all of us are going to have even more access to content, you know, via our mobile. Whether that can be delivered to your TV, if you've got a smart TV, internet connected TV, in a smart TV they call it, right? Then you can, you bypass the broadcasters. But you imagine that. And by the way, Catcha also is going to be launching its own, you know, iFlix, you know, Netflix for Asia. And that's coming up soon. So I messaged Patrick just before he got on a flight yesterday to come back to Malaysia from Sydney where he's on holiday. And he said he can't talk about it yet because they've got some, you know, broadcast partners that they are working out, you know, negotiations with. But the point is there's going to be so much option for content. As a company, then suddenly if you're yes and you're interested, you're saying, hey, all these, our consumers here have access to so much more content. How can I make my channel so compelling they're going to spend their limited eyeball time, right, on my program?
I'm just thinking, so, when was the last time I actually sat down to watch something?
Really, yeah? There you go. Actually, my wife did the other day, I think on the first day of City Day, February 1st, she sat down and watched something and I kind of told her, hey, you're spending 2.5 hours watching this show, and I got scolded by her. Because she rarely watched TV. She said, come on, man.
It's give her a break.
Yeah, la. Right? My bad. La. But the point is, you already got so much content on Astro itself. You've used Astro. Then you've got, what's that? Sridhar is running that ABN.
Yes.
incredible amount of content. I think the world is overflowing with content.
We're over-contented.
Over-contented, yeah. But when you talk to content people, they say, no, there's still more great content out there. I'm saying, really, who's got the time to watch? But obviously, people do make time, you know, and the data shows that people still watch TV. Whether you're consuming that, sorry, Frida, they're consuming content on your mobile, which is great news for broadcasters with their data plans. It's just all happening, like it's just converging, right? It's getting so complicated. Suddenly, digital terrestrial TV, is it as great as people make it out to be? Scary, man.
Okay, next story. Singapore's Vertex Venture CEO believes it pays to be patient, and this belief is colored by his own entrepreneurial experience.
So really, we spoke about this last week, because I did part one last week on Monday. I did part two on Tuesday. But forgot the name again. Anyway, their lock is his name. So maybe whatever lah. Oh man, this is really bad.
Okay,
Anyway, so he was an entrepreneur before. Very interesting, okay? He was an entrepreneur before in 1998, running a company, VIP company called Media Ring. They got it listed in year 2000 on the Singapore Stock Exchange, and he feels that they got listed too early because he said they couldn't raise money anymore, so he had to go the IPO route. And at that time, the Singapore Stock Exchange loosened the conditions where even if you were not profitable, you could list your company. So he took advantage of the internet hype and he listed before the dot-com bust. Actually, he listed in November 1999.
Right. Just before.
Yeah, a lot of entrepreneurs who missed it say they regret not getting it before. And Keylock, his name is Chua Keylock, thank goodness. He says that actually it was a bad thing that they got listed. He said the timing was bad because the market crashed. And then while the market crashed, you're a listed company. Guess what? Every 3 months, investors want to know how much money you make for us, right? So an extra level of stress and demands on you while you're still trying to get traction for the main product. So that experience taught him that you need to be patient. And one of the companies that has benefited from this approach is Rebonds, which is that high-end, you know, fashion sales site in Singapore. They first gave them $2 million back in 2011 because they liked the concept. And then after a while, they didn't show commercial traction, but he said that they showed enough interest from consumers who are coming to the site and checking out things that they say, let's give them more money. And they ended up over that 3.5 year period giving them $15 million. And Rebonds ended up raising a lot more from other investors as they started showing more traction. But can you imagine if after that $2 million, Vertex said that, I know Keylock said, hey, this isn't working, we're going to cut our losses. Rebonds would have been dead in the water. Instead, today, they're on the cusp of, according to Reuters, wrote a story last year that they're looking to list in NASDAQ now. So this patient approach is very interesting. With Keylock, you've got a guy who's been in the wars, who understands it. So very interesting. So for our entrepreneurs also, you know, that's a good a company to go and try to, you know, pitch your business plan to, you know.
Okay.
So that's the thing I wanted to bring up with Keylock lah. Quite interesting.
And
so,
then someone said, this go agile or go the way of the dodo. So who is
saying this? That is actually, Edwin did a really great story talking about a Gartner analyst, Daryl Calton, who was saying that, you know, last year everybody was saying you need to go agile. You know, if not, your business is going to suffer. So he says, Daryl Calton says, this year is the year you got to act on it. No more rhetoric. And specifically for digital businesses, he said you need to be adaptive and responsive to your customers. Very interesting, huh? You're driven by your customers. You have to be adaptive and responsive to customers. That is, and the way to do this is by effect. You want to do this effectively, you need to have unstable processes. Typically, businesses speak to a user and define your needs, and they create a very stable and robust framework. Okay, these are your processes to handle your needs. He says now it has to be effectively unstable process, because things move so dynamically in this digital age. And you read the story about some of the key tips that Daryl Calton shares. So I thought it was worth highlighting, because this is the area where you need to do it. No more just talking about it. Otherwise, you could effectively find that you're not going to be as competitive in your business, and you're wondering, why is my competitor able to increase their market share? You know, or expand successfully, whereas we couldn't expand successfully.
Right. And I guess that's all the time we have for this.
Yeah, we've got
week.
The reading list. Like, just a quick one. You can read the reading list.
Okay, the reading list. This is Mano Menon's Tech Vision Technology Improving the Response to Floods.
Yeah, Manoj is the head of Frost & Sullivan for Asia Pacific.
All right. And then My Fave 5, Go Tien Yu's Fave 5.
Favorite 5 stories,
check
yeah.
Check that out. Karmjit Singh from Digital News Asia. Tech Talk.
Not Chakade this week. It's Vel Vel in honor of Thaipusam. our brothers and sisters who are carrying kabaddi.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.